All right. Welcome back to the new Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK, 101 FM, The Show. You can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, Marquette Law School Professor Alan Borsek, Senior Fellow at Marquette Law. You know, Alan, let's talk a little bit about the different modes of delivering education today. There are many different modes of that happening. I know Milwaukee Public Schools has lost about 29,000 or more of the students that used to attend there. And we see new, again, modes everywhere we look, new schools going up. I don't know if that's one of the reasons why there's a shortage of educators. I don't think so. But let's talk about the different delivery models for education today.
Okay. You're right that there's been enormous change going back to the 1990s when both the private school voucher program started and charter schools started, and then they really took off starting in the very late 1990s. At this point, and I don't know if this is related to teacher shortages and such, because I think everyone's got the same problems to a large degree, but at this point, only slightly over half of the students in the city of Milwaukee who are getting publicly funded education, they're going to schools that public money is paying for their education. Only slightly over half are in what we thought of as the Milwaukee public school system for many years. Now it's a different picture. And you got a quarter of them going to private schools using the voucher program. You've got 14 or 15% going to charter schools, which are sort of independent, not religious schools. They're kind of hard to describe to people, but they're popular, certainly, and there are quite a few in the city. So it's just a real different landscape than there was, when I was a kid, when you were a kid. Everyone who went to that public-funded education went to a public school. Now, and the parochial schools were funded by, the church or the parents and whatever. It was, it's very different. So that changes the landscape. It changes the dynamics. It changes the role of MPS in a lot of ways. It is ultimately a big problem for MPS that they're losing kids. They've lost almost 10,000 kids in the last, 3 years. And the smaller the piece of the pie that's going to MPS, the bigger the problems are. That said, it's important to note that this really is school choice. No one's being forced to go to these schools, to the non-MPS schools. People are going there because they want something. Whether it's religious education, whether it's smaller schools and smaller classrooms, whether it's a sense of safety, all of these are factors, whether it's, word of mouth that someone told them, hey, this is a good school. That's a big factor in people's lives. People are choosing to do this, and frankly, MPS has not done a good job of finding a strategy to get more people to choose to go to MPS. One impact being that MPS does end up with a disproportionate share of kids who are have special needs, who have chronic discipline problems, who are just not engaged. That the more engaged and on-track kids, there is some tendency for them to go to schools with higher performance levels. You can't blame a parent for picking the best school for their kids. Trying to convince parents to go to schools that have very low outcomes, very low test scores and such is just not a winning strategy.
Alan, this whole different modes of delivery models for education, it was one thing when it was just inside of MPS. You and I remember when it was just inside of the city of Milwaukee, but it has expanded all over the state. And so now what we are faced with is a different reality, different public schools in different parts of the state who are experiencing the exact same thing, losing their market share to other schools. The fact that they have changed this whole thing now, instead of just, you know, being there to help poor black kids get a chance at a better education, has now morphed into people who are in private schools. Their children are there. They've been paying for them. There is no income limit. And now people are paying, taxpayers are paying for people who can afford to pay for their own kids in private schools. We really have to take a long, hard look, Alan, at what has taken place here.
You're right that there's been a lot of expansion statewide. It remains that there is still income limits, both in the city of Milwaukee and statewide. They actually vary a little bit. They aren't uniform. The practical effect is that the vast majority, like 90% or something, of households in the city of Milwaukee could qualify for vouchers if parents chose them. Statewide, it isn't that high. But that's one of the proposals for the Republicans right now, is universal voucher availability, that no income limits and everywhere without limits. You know, the most important day on the school calendar for 2022 is, what is it, November 8th, I believe, is the election day this fall, because whoever is elected governor, that's going to have a big impact on what happens going forward. Right now, the proposals that Alberta Darling and other Republican legislators are pushing, including statewide unlimited vouchers, aren't going to go anywhere because Tony Evers, the Democrat, is going to veto that. If Evers wins in November, that'll continue to be a stalemate. If a Republican wins in November, frankly, that'll open the door to a lot of big changes. I think statewide vouchers would be one of the first and most likely to go through. Overhauling MPS may not be quite so likely, because I think it'll falter once people confront the realities of it. I think there's advocacy and Republican ranks of people who are realizing that. But nonetheless, if there's a change in the power structure in Madison, so that so that there's not a Democratic presence in the governor's office to veto stuff, it's going to have a big impact. Because the Republicans are almost certain to continue to control the legislature, just the dice cast that way, whether you like it or not.
You know, Alan, what that says to me, again, is that you can't continue to push out and say, and I understand why the Republicans do what they do. Our focus, our concern is poor black kids and getting a fair an equitable shot at education. And yet then behind the scenes, there have been a lot of new schools that have been built with private dollars and for-profit schools, Alan, I'm sure you're aware of that. And so part of Alberta's thing is that we're going to open it up for even more private schools and even more dollars and more for-profit education. And so, you know, you're not going to hear this conversation on other radio stations, especially not on conservative radio stations, because they're not going to tell the truth about what is really taking place. And I don't want to get you, and I know I'm not trying to get you caught up in Republican or Democrat or any of that, but facts are what they are. If the Republicans regain the governorship of the state of Wisconsin, for-profit education is really going to take off.
If I can correct you on one thing.
Go ahead.
How you define for-profit? There are actually, to my knowledge, none or close to none. I'm trying to think if there's any for-profit schools in Milwaukee. There are in some states, like Michigan. They're all nonprofits, but they are heavily oriented towards as you said, big money donors and so on. That's true. You know, you have schools like, well, I'll name one.
Hope Christian Academy, St. Marcus, you know, I mean, there are plenty.
Yeah, they have very big donors who from the private sector, but they are nonprofit organizations. Okay. They're religious organizations. So the notion that people are running for-profit schools isn't quite true. So I try to avoid that term, but that there's a big difference in the power structure behind a lot of the private schools and the public schools, politically, economically, business interests versus unions. Those divides are all there. But
so I stand corrected on that. But again, a lot of this too, these religious schools, and there's supposed to be a separation of church and state. There always was when I was young. But now that seems to have disappeared and dissipated. So, you know, that's all right now. Go ahead.
Legally, it is all right now. That is a fact that both the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court have ruled that that vouchers and going to religious schools and public money ultimately going to religious schools is constitutional. So anyone's welcome to their opinion. I certainly don't want to get into my own on whether this violates separation of church and state. But is it legal at the moment as things stand? It definitely is. That's just a fact. You know, the Wisconsin Supreme Court in 1998 became the first court of that level in the country to rule that it was constitutional to use public money to go to send kids to religious schools. The notion that got around separation of church and state was that it was, as it's labeled, parental choice, and it was parents deciding where to send their kids, and it wasn't the state deciding where to send the kids. Like I said, people are welcome to like that or not like that, but that is the legal reality now. So, you know, vouchers are not going to go away. Even if Tony Evers wins in the fall or whatever, it's just not going to go away. So the question is, where do we go from here?
All right, so, Alan, hang on a second. We've got to go to a break. We got a couple more minutes, or we got to go to a break now? Yes, a couple more minutes. Oh, okay. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. My friend, Mr. Alan Borsak, senior fellow Marquette Law, is here. You can reach us at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the new Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.